Grace, mercy, and peace are yours. As you and I gather to begin another church year and we walk once again through everything that our Lord and our Savior has done for us, we marvel as Christians in that amazing hope that is ours. As you and I think about this idea of the gift of hope, it begins our Advent season as we rejoice in the fact that the reason you and I have hope is because we know something's coming. That's what the word Advent means. Coming. Beginning today and for the next three Sundays, you and I rejoice that we have something to look forward to. There is something coming. And what we look forward to is Jesus. Coming the first time as that baby in Bethlehem to be our Lord, our Savior, and our substitute. Coming the second time, having already won salvation for you and for me, now returning in all of his might and power and glory to bring you to his side, just as he has promised. That's the gift of hope. Whenever you and I talk about hope, we hope something will be taking place. We're always talking about something that's off there in the future yet. We haven't quite seen it. And you probably also notice that whenever we talk about hope, it's always based on a word. We hope Grandma and Grandpa will be here soon. And the reason we have that hope is because Mom said they're going to be here soon. Keep your eye out for them. We hope that our investments will kind of turn around and start to build again. And we have that hope because our financial advisor told us that some of the things that have unsettled have been ironed out and things are calming down and it looks like it should get better. And so we base our hope on the words that we hear. How true is that when it comes to the hope of heaven? It's all based on a word. And it's not based on an educated guess. It's not based on some fallible ideas. It's based on God's good word. So this morning we want to take a look at our first lesson. We're going to take a look at the words of Jeremiah chapter 33. And as we hear what Jeremiah had to say, as we think about the promise that's coming, we're going to use this question that you've probably heard before. What's the good word? And as you and I think about that, what's the good word? You're going to hear the word righteous a bunch of times. So what's the good word? Jesus is righteous. Jesus does righteousness. And we are righteous. The reason you heard that word a number of times is because the word righteous appears a number of times in these three short verses from Jeremiah chapter 33. And so I suppose it's a benefit then to have a definition. What does righteous mean? Well, it's not just another word for neat, cool, gnarly, awesome, or whatever era of slang you happen to use. The back of your catechism defines righteous as sinless, morally perfect. We're talking about attitudes and actions and lives and people that are right in line with God's holy will, never deviating from what God has to say. That certainly was not the case in the days of Jeremiah. You take a look at what the kings are doing, how they were leading Judah and Jerusalem, and righteous is probably the furthest thing from an accurate description. They were doing anything but what God had to say. They were importing the idol worship that had already destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel. They were importing just the simply ignoring of what God was doing, doing whatever it is that they felt like doing. And so Jeremiah, in his rather long ministry, which takes us right up to the destruction of Jerusalem, is constantly warning these unrighteous people. Because of their rebellion, because they are not walking right in line with what God's will and ways are all about, Babylon is going to come. There will be a destruction, and there will be exile. So what's the good word? Listen, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promises that I have spoken to the house of Israel and concerning the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to grow up from David's line. Good word. We have it translated here as good promises, which is a good translation. But very literally, he says, this is the good word. This is something that God has said. This is something that is good. This is something you can depend on. So what's the good word? Even though God is looking at His chosen nation about to be destroyed, having to send them into exile because of their rebellion, He's not forgetting His promise. What's the good word? The good word is that despite what's about to happen after that, God is still going to send that righteous branch. Someone who is going to be right in line. Someone who's going to completely and totally agree with everything that God has to say. The complete opposite of the sinners in this world, there is a righteous branch that's going to sprout up from a dead-looking stump, sprout up from David's line. And it isn't too hard to figure out who the righteous branch is. Who's coming? What's the good word? The good word is Jesus is righteous. And He's the one who fulfills that good word. Now, if someone is actually going to be righteous, if that's his characteristic, that's going to be noticeable. And that's why we kind of roughly translated what he gets into next. Not only is Jesus righteous, but Jesus does righteous. Of course, that's not what was going on in the days of Jeremiah either. There really was no justice going on at the time. The justice, any justice, has to be measured based on some kind of a standard. The standard of the days of Jeremiah tended to move a little bit. It kind of depended upon who the king was. It depended on what was going on. It depended upon how much or how little they were getting into the idol worship. And so this idea of justice would shift and modify. And as soon as you don't really have a standard for justice, then there's not a lot of righteousness that is taking place either. So what's the good word? He will establish justice and righteousness on earth. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. The good word is Jesus does righteousness. He steps into this world, and He takes care of justice. Based on a standard that doesn't move around. Just as it tended to move during the days of the kings, so you and I understand that too. A lot of times when you and I say something isn't fair or something isn't just, we also tend to use a moving standard, don't we? Because it's my standard. And I tend to hold this person to a certain standard. And if something happens, I consider that just. But as soon as I end up in that situation, then I'm busy trying to adjust the standard a little bit because it ought to be a little different for me. Jesus didn't do any of that. Jesus was perfectly just. All of His judgments that take place at the end of time, everything that He says as He walked here on this earth, perfectly lined up with that immovable standard summarized in the Ten Commandments of God's will and God's ways. He is righteous. Everything was right in line with what God had to say. And so as you and I rejoice in what Jesus had to say, there was never any resentment. Jesus never resented what He had to do, never resented what He had to go through. There was never any time when He thought that, well, I should just give up. Nobody cares anyway. Nobody's interested. Nobody's paying any attention. Why bother? And while perhaps some of that's true, He still carries out His work. Never questioned. Never questioned if that's really what God had in mind. Never questioned if that's really what God meant Him to do. Never questioned if there's a way to kind of reinterpret what's going on. Absolutely righteous. Perfectly. Not only is He righteous, but He does righteousness. And notice why. He doesn't do these righteous things simply for the sake of him being righteous. He does them so that Jerusalem can live securely, so that Judah can be saved. He does it for us. He does it for his people. He comes in and he steps into the place of those who are not righteous, who are not just, who are constantly looking for movable standards. And he steps in. And because Jesus comes, you and I know we're saved. Because Jesus comes, you and I know that whatever happens around us, we can still dwell securely in his grace and in his love. That's the gift of hope. We know what's coming because we know what the good word is. And the good word is Jesus does righteousness. Which takes us to the really good word. Which takes us to the gift of hope. Because Jesus is righteous, this branch has come. He has sprouted. Because Jesus does righteousness, perfectly fulfilling everything that the God the Father sent God the Son to do, because he is righteous and because he does righteousness, we are righteous. That's the good word. This is what he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Now, there might be something there that sounds just a bit off to you. So I invite you to follow along in the first lesson, looking at Jeremiah chapter 33, as I read these words from Jeremiah chapter 23. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Did you catch the difference? Roughly 10 years earlier, when the Lord first gave this promise for Jeremiah to repeat, he uses a name that's very familiar to us, a name that you've heard all kinds of times, the Lord, our righteousness. And in the words from chapter 23 that I just read, we're told that the Lord, our righteousness, is his name. As I read those words and you were following along in chapter 33, we are told that the Lord, our righteousness, is her name. So who is it? The Lord our righteousness. It's a beautiful name for Jesus, right? His name. Perfect name for the branch. Jeremiah chapter 23 reminded us that as this righteous branch stepped into the world, we can call Jesus the Lord our righteousness. He is the Lord. The creator of all things. The master of everything. The unchanging God. The one who can simply say, I am. Who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And even as he sets all of that aside for the moment to take our place in this life when he was born of the Virgin, he's still the Lord. But he steps into this world so that he can become our righteousness. Because he is righteous and does righteousness, he does all of that to supply the righteousness that you and I do not have. And he does that for the world. But the Lord, our righteousness, is also your name. In chapter 33, Jeremiah takes that name and applies it to God's church. This is the name by which she, Jerusalem, will be called. And as is often the case in the Old Testament, Jerusalem and Judah is the picture of God's church, his chosen people. The one who saves and the ones who are saved have the same name. At your baptism, God applied his name to you. You belong to the Lord, our righteousness. You rejoice in the fact that your Lord gives you his righteousness. All of the things that Jesus accomplished is applied to you and to me. And now the one who is our righteousness calls you by that very same name. That's hope. The amazing gift of hope. That's the good word. And the reason Jesus is righteous and the reason Jesus does righteousness is so that we are righteous. You know you haven't changed. You know that you're not becoming righteous. You know that you are not completely all of a sudden perfect. We still struggle with our sins. But God credits you as righteous, counts you as righteous, sees you as righteous. Because everything that Jesus did, everything this righteous branch did when those days arrived, is given to you. And we stand in His perfection. That's hope. That's the gift of hope. The hope that we know is coming when that baby is born in Bethlehem. The hope that we know is coming when He comes at the end of time. So what's the good word? Righteous. Jesus is righteous. Jesus does righteous. We are righteous. And that is why you and I can do what Jesus says in our gospel lesson from this morning. Some of this seems awful scary. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and on the earth nations will be in anguish, in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the surging waves, people fainting from fear and expectation of the things coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But because Jesus is righteous, does righteousness, and now since we are righteous, but when these things begin to happen, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is near. That's the gift of hope. Amen.